Dibra Yamin Beis Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Aleph over here. Now, we have this entire idea. Obviously, we've had some bad kings in Klal Yisrael. We've had a lot of bad things that have happened up until now. There's been some great things that have happened. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was obviously one of the greatest kings that we've ever had. He was tremendous in sparking a revolution among the people, especially considering his father was so evil. Achaz was such a terrible person with everything that he did. Chizkiyahu was really like a revelation in everything he did. It says, Chalos Kolzos, after he had finished getting up and building up the base of Mikdash, getting the Kohanim Levim to bless him and doing everything, Yatzu Kol Yisrael and Yimtzayim La'ar Yehuda, all the Jews were found by the cities of Yehuda. They got up, Yishabro Matzevos, and they broke down all of the, is Pasuk Aleph, Lamed Aleph Aleph. They broke down all the matzevas, the little stands they made. But Yigadu Asherim, and they cut down all the Asherah trees. Not to us, a bummer says, Bechos Mekol Yehudu Ben Yamin. They knocked out all the bummers, the Mizbechos, in Yehudu Ben Yamin, Ephraim, and Manasha, Ad L'Chalei, until everything was completely eradicated. Yeshuvuko Ben Yisrael, Yishlachu Zasal Aram, and everybody went back properly to their cities. Now notice over here, at this point, Chizkiyahu is technically de facto the king of Klal Yisrael. The 10 tribes have already been exiled. So there's nobody there in this area. There were still Jews that lived there, right, in the cities around Yehuda and Binyamin, and Ephraim, Manasseh, and whatever it is. So he was de facto leader of all of these areas, and therefore he destroyed everything from all around. And that's what Chizkiyahu did. It says, "V'yamid Yechizkiyahu is machlokos akwanim v'levim amachol kaisam ish kvi avodaso." Then Chizkiyahu, what he did was he made certain like divisions of the levim and the kohanim when they would work. What we call mishmaros in the Gemara. The mishmar was once every 24 weeks you worked, and it really wasn't even during that week. You were allowed to work during the week, but every day you had one day that was yours, your family. Then another day would be somebody else, and you were a backup for the other 5 days, the other 6 days, technically. On Shabbos, everybody who could worked. Everybody got together. But that's what they ended up doing. It says, in order to do the Lahodos, Lahalel, to serve, to thank God, to praise God, in all the gates of the camps of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there was a certain amount of a portion, a gift given by the king from his riches, La'olos, Abokav Erev, in order to give to the Olos, for Olos Boker in the morning and evening. I guess this was a tax that was too much for the people to handle. People could not handle this much stuff on them. So instead, the king took it upon himself. You want to pay for the Korban Ola every morning and even the Korban Tamid? I'll do that. Ba'olos l'shabbos l'chadash l'wadim, as well as the olos that had to be given every Shabbos, every Rosh Chodesh, and every Moed, because of the Tzoras Hashem, he took that upon himself. Now, halachically speaking, no individual is allowed to take the Korban Ola of the Tzibor, and pay for it himself. It cannot be a nidvas yachid. That cannot be done. It has to be something given to the tzibor, and then everybody can take from it. That you're allowed to do. Chizkiyahu, what he was doing over here was giving it to the people, meaning he donated his own riches, whether it's from taxes or not. Well, however, he got this money.
That his money's not his money.
Exactly.
Anyways. He
doesn't
have a job.
Whether it's actually his or not, but it came from the royal treasury. In order to be given to the people, he had to make that public funds. And he did so in order to make sure, right, that it was given correctly and everything like that. But he made sure that everything was given so nothing was done. He said to the people living in Yerushalayim, they should give their portions to the Kohanim and Levim, the Mani Yachaz Gubat Torah Hashem, so that they could sit and learn, right? They could strengthen the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not so they could sit in, because remember, the Kohanim and Levim, they only worked technically 2 days a year. One day of that 1 week of the 24 weeks. So you work 2 days out of 48 weeks. Obviously not including Yom Tov, you worked every Yom Tov, right? But you only work those 2 days. So what do they do the rest of the time? I'm sure they had businesses. I'm sure they had something, although they didn't have inherited lands. I'm sure they had something to do.
Yeah, but were they mishmarot that he had, the same as mishmarot we have in the Gemara?
We don't know.
And you're assuming that there's that many Kohanim and Levim,
yeah,
also.
They're probably, I don't know why that would have gone down. Chizkiyahu did not lose that many people what was Sancheriv.
No, but just before
the
this,
people
when,
who were
when what's her name came about?
Asalia?
No, who killed everybody except for that one
Asalia. She didn't kill the Kohanim and Levim that we know about.
Well,
the Kohanim were a formidable force. Remember, they were the ones who surrounded the king to make sure that he wasn't taken down because there were so many other people around. Right? So there were enough people. But no, that I don't know. Whether there were 24 or 14 or whatever it was, I don't know. But here, the wording of Laman Yechezku B'Toras Hashem, so they could strengthen themselves in the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that shows not for them to sit in the base of Mikdash all day. That wasn't their job. Their job was to learn Torah and to teach Torah throughout Klal Yisrael. They were the teachers. They had to be supported in that way. So they got their Meister Rishon, their Truma, their Meister Ani perhaps, something like that. But they were given certain things, and that he told the people, even if they were giving it, there were probably many people who were not, and he strengthened them in that way. It always, to me nowadays, whenever somebody comes along and says, how do I give my Meister properly? I always get like a little bit of a smile, somebody came to me tonight and said, you have to help me work out how to give Meister. What am I supposed to give from? I was like so happy. Like, you just don't hear that very often. Like, people take it upon themselves, and that's great. But to do an actual Meister, to give, is such an awesome thing, and to know what to give to or how to give and whatever it is. But this shows again.
What did you say to him?
I said, for this person particularly, I said, take the amount of, not your gross income, but the income that ends up coming in.
Well, isn't it always net income? 401k
and to like other it is.
Net income anyway.
But the question is, what's net income? How do you define that? Because he gives a bunch to a 401k. And
right, so when
whatever.
He cashes out the 401k, he would give him ISR of whatever he's cashing out.
Yeah, so it's whatever money he's coming into his account that I told him take 10%, and you can do it through Chase.com. Where you can take 10% and put it into an automatic account, which is an automatic deductible that goes through. So it's a very easy way of doing it. I said, that's my suggestion to him. So we set it up. It was really, really good. But either way, regardless, it's interesting. The Gemara actually learns from here, you should only give Truma to a Kohen who studies Torah. Because this is Lamani Chesku Torah Hashem, sounds like from over here that you should only give it to that person, but it's an agad, it's a drush in Sanhedrin on Tzadiyam Abayz. Regardless, you see that he's caring for the spiritual needs of the nation. So as this became more widespread, B'nai Yisrael brought an abundance of grain and wine and oil, dvash, v'chol tuvos, and all the produce of the field, as well as Meister, everything, they gave a ton of stuff. The people were really into it. They said, like, you know what, we do want to give, because I guess they agreed with Chizkio's assessment that these people needed to be supported, that they were good teachers. They gave their Meister of cattle and sheep, of the Meister of the Kudshim, a Mekudashim L'Hashem Elokeihem. I'm not so sure exactly what that means, a Meister of the Kudshim that they gave to the Beis HaMikdash. There's no need to give Meister off of Kudshim. I don't know if anybody has an idea for this, but it is a little weird. But Aviu, they knew Aremos. They made piles of all the stuff that they were going to give over.
It says, Rashi says it's Meiser mina Meiser. It's Trumas Meiser.
Oh, it's Trumas Meiser?
Yeah. Meaning Kachim is the Truma. Truma is Kadosh, and then Meiser of that.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Well, no,
Meiser Kadoshim.
Meaning the Holy Meiser. The Holy Meiser is Trumas Meiser.
It is definitely true that it does say that Kodesh is known as Truma in the Torah. Whenever it says the word Kodesh, it's referring to Truma. Trumas Meiser is called Meiser mina Meiser. But, all right, yeah.
But it is hectic. Yeah. I mean, it's Kadosh, right?
What's the wording? It says, "A ma'aser mina ma'aser shall be nosen l'kohanim." Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But Chodesh Hashvi she'achelu aremos liyisod, right? And the third month, I guess you could say. So this is Sivan.
Oh, Radak has a different explanation.
What did he say?
Even the Kachim, they would give a ma'aser, even though they're patra from doing this, they would still do it anyway.
They would do it anyway. So it was a little bit more than what their actual needs
were. They want lifnei mishuras.
Good. That's good. Chodesh Hashvi in Sivan he'achelu aremos liyisod. So the piles, right, they made foundations for it. Chodesh Hashvi kilu, they finished it up. I guess there were like certain areas where you could come in. If you needed something, you go in. It was sort of like the chesed fund, you know? Like if you want, they made a chesed fund building so that everybody could come in and get what they needed so that they would be able to go through. They saw the piles. They blessed the Kadosh Baruch Hu and his people Israel for all the things that they had brought, which is absolutely amazing. Okay, so Chizkio questioned the Kohanim Levim about these piles. They may love Azariah HaKohen, Harosh LeBeis Tzadok. Azariah HaKohen, who was the Kohen Gadol, he was from the house of Tzadok. Tzadok and Abiyasar from years and years and years ago, right? It seems that this person is not the same as Azariah the Melech. Uzziah is also known as Azariah, who was a Kohen Gadol, who tried to become a Kohen Gadol. This Azariah seems to be the Azariah wa Kohen Gadol, Arosh Beis Tzadok. They are Me'achil HaTrumah LeBeis Hashem, right? They began to bring Truma to the house of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Achol v'savoah v'hoser. There had been enough to eat. There was more. They were satisfied and became so much ad l'rov. Ki Hashem derech zamo v'anoser z'hamon hazeh. Right? The leftovers is this pile right over here. V'yemir chizkiyo l'hachin l'shachiz beveis Hashem yachinu. So they decided to make certain chambers, right? Areas in which they were going to store these things. And they did it. V'yivu was a trumah v'amaisav ha-kadosh v'amunah. And they brought it with trust. Meaning there was no official like ledger saying here's what we brought, here's what we did, and whatever it was. Everybody trusted everyone. Vamalayam Nagid Kanan Yahu Alevi. On top of them was Kanan Yahu the Levi, the Shimi Achiyu Mishneh, as well as Shimi, his second in command, Viachiel Vazazyo, Vinachas Vasoil, Viarimos Yozavid Baliel, Viasam Chayou, Umachas Yahu, Pekidim Miyad Kanan Yahu. Kanan Yahu had made all of them in charge over here, Vishimi Achiv as well, Shem and his brother, Vimifkari Chizkol through the appointment of Chizkol HaMelech, Vazaryahu Nikib Beis Elohim as well as Vazaryahu, the prince of the Beis Elohim, meaning the Kohen Gadol. Kori ben Yimna, Halevi Ashor LeMizracha. Now we have just names over here. Kori, the son of Yimna, the Levi was the gatekeeper on the east side, Ol Nidvos Elohim. All of the donations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu went through him, Lesei Shum HaSashim HaKadosh HaKadoshim, Val Yadu Eden, Umin Yamin, Ve'eshua Ushmayahu, Amar Yahu Shchanyahu, Ba'ari HaKohanim, in all the cities of the Kohanim, Ba'amuna, Lesei Slachem, V'machlokos HaKatan HaGadol. They gave over in these different divisions, however old, young, Movad Hisyachsom Lascharim, aside from what the males were giving, Mi Ben Shloshan Mulamala, right, I guess you can say, from 3 years and up, Lachoba Habba Beis Hashem, Lidvar Yom Biyomala, Vadelsom, Mishmar Oslam, Kamach Lokoseyam. So all of these distributions were aside from those that were giving, you know, in their own places, in their own areas. Obviously, there were some Kohanim and Levim who were older who could not come to the Beis HaMikdash, who couldn't take from there. So they gave their own over there at home as well. So this is good. The people were really into giving to the people who needed to get. Basically, Siachas HaKohanim LeBeis HaVoseim, when the Kohanim gave their Yichus to their father's house, Levim Ben Esrim Shana L'Mawa, the Levim from 20 years and up, in Mishmar Oseim B'machal Koseim, according to their divisions, whatever, Siachas B'chol Tapam, the shame of the name of an Oseim, the Chol Kal. And then they came. They connected all the children, the wives, the sons, the daughters, for all the Kalkibim, Nasim, Yiskachu, Kodesh. They made everything holy. And the sons of Aaron the Kohen, right, obviously the Kohanim, right, in the fields of the Migrash Aram, remember they had like extra areas outside of the field where they were able to get. There were certain people that were named. They gave gifts over to every male as well as the Levim. That's a great thing to be able to say. Can you imagine being known as a person? He did good and the right thing and the truth in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a great line to say about anybody. Everything that he did in this framework of trying to make sure the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was done correctly in Torah and in mitzvos, in searching God with all of his heart, he did so and he was matzliach. He was successful in everything he did, which is an awesome thing to say. And in contrast, unfortunately, to many of the kings that we've mentioned up until now, I don't want to say many, but the four or five kings that we mentioned up until now, where we had sort of this negative connotation that went with them, right? Chizkiyahu was awesome. Awesome in everything he did. And this, if you'll remember correctly, is before he got married. Chizkiyahu did not get married until much later on in life. He knew through, I don't know, stargazing, somehow, astrology, that his child was going to be an evil child, and therefore he refused to get married until this point. It is. Torah? And we're, as we'll see, I don't think it's mentioned over here, it's mentioned more in Malachim
isn't
as well
it,
as...
Oh, it is, it is. Isn't it that talks about why he didn't get married?
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's not in the text of the...
Well, no, it doesn't give the reason why. It just says, you know, what ended up happening when Yeshaya went to him and said, you're going to die, right? But there was a very, very bad sickness. That sickness is explained by the Gemara. And in Malachim, well, Yeshaya, I should say, in Yeshaya, it explains it a little bit further. It goes into it a little bit more in detail. After all these things, and this show of MS that he did, you'd think that a Kadosh Baruch would give them a respite. That everything was perfectly fine. Look at what they're doing. They're doing amazing things. You'd think that the people would finally find a little bit of peace. But this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us as a people. When we're doing really well, we are sometimes tested. And that test comes in an unexpected way. And in a show of force sometimes. Over here was a show of force. To show them they should never just lie in their laurels and assume that everything's going to be okay. According to Chazal, this could have been the leading up to Gog and Magog and Mashiach. That Sennacherib could have been Gog and Magog, Chizkiyahu could have been Mashiach. And had he only done one thing, and this is, you know, the thing that we see quite often, we're like, if only one thing would have happened better, then he would have been Mashiach and everything would have been there. But the point of it, behind the point behind everything is that Chizkiyahu HaMelech, even Chizkiyahu, with all of the reform that he did and the great things that he started in Klal Yisrael, even he was tested. And tested, like, I can't even imagine, people were dying in the street in his time, even though there was such Talmid Chachamim and learning so much. It's not like what it says later on by Yoshia, where the people were doing evil behind closed doors and Yoshia thought everything was great. Here it seems that everybody was doing great. There's no indication in the Pesukim or in Chazal that people weren't following what Chizkiyahu said. It seems like everybody was doing great, and still HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends this in. So look what happens. It says, Vayavo Bihud, he came into Yehuda. He had already exiled the 10 tribes. Vayichan al-Aron Rabitzuros, he camped by those fortified cities, mostly Yerushalayim, although I'm sure there were other fortified cities there. Vayomer Levikim Elov, he wanted to breach them himself. So the Gemara goes through a whole thing of how Sennacherib came there. Had he only come in on this day, he would have defeated it. There was a certain mazel, right? But Chizkiyahu, like Sennacherib, waved his hand at it. He said, this is a nothing city. Why should I try bothering to defeat it? It's so easy. I've defeated bigger cities than that, right? And therefore, he did not succeed. Vayari Chizkiyahu kibat Sennacherib. Chizkiyahu saw that Sennacherib had come, right, and the idea behind it, fun of Lemocham al Yerushalayim, that his face, he was headed for battle to Yerushalayim. Vayivotzim Sorav Yigiborav, Listo Mismeni Ayanos. He then advised, together with his officers and his strong men, to close up the waters of the springs, Asher Mechutzal Ir, that were outside the city, Vayazru, and they all helped him. According to Chazal, this was a major mistake on Chizkiyahu's part. Now, on the one hand, let's look at Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu's looking at this and saying, there is an army of huge, 185,000 people, according to the Pasuk in Malachim, that was coming up against Yerushalayim. He said, you know what, I'm going to defeat this army? If they don't have food and water, right, they can't continue the siege. The water is coming from these certain springs because there is no natural body of water by Yerushalayim. There are springs that are underneath the ground, the Me'ah Shiloach and whatever it was. So he closed up the Me'ah Shiloach, that naturally speaking, they would win this war because Sennacherib would not be able to wait there. He wouldn't be able to stay with his entire army, this huge army. See, there's an advantage to having a huge army, and there's a major disadvantage to having such a huge army. The advantage is that, okay, you can do what you need to do, and you can defeat people really quickly. But if you don't win quickly, the huge disadvantage is that you have no food and drink. How are you going to feed an army of this stature, this big? Especially back then when you didn't have trains, you had no way of getting food from one place to the other. What are you supposed to do? So this was a huge disadvantage. So we thought this is the right thing to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want him to do this. And again, this is not on us. We probably, I think this would be a mitzvah on our part to do. But on Chizkiyahu's part, he was supposed to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely that he would have taken care of it. Again, that is not something that, that's not a lesson that we can learn, which is why the Navi doesn't point it out. But that's what Chizkiyahu should have paid attention to. But Yikavtu Amrav, they gathered together a huge crowd. Yeah.
Why would Hashem send this test and then we're just supposed to...
I think the main point of the test is to show that even when things are going really, when you're doing really well, that doesn't mean you won't be tested right afterward. Even when you succeeded in a certain
test, it's not like a test of how long you can survive your faith in God.
Right, right. It could be that it's sort of like, listen, you're doing well, you're doing great. Sometimes you're doing better than you ever had before. Right then, something comes in, and again, you have to be on the level of Chizkiyahu. Who knows what'll end up happening with you? Usually, things go really, really well. With Chizkiyahu, this was the challenge. The challenge that was given to him was something that, for us, I don't, who could survive something like this? Well, you come to Amrabi, Yistum was Kwamayanos, they closed off all the springs, that's a Nachala, Shotipisil Haaretz, as well as the river that used to flow inside the land, Lamor, Lamiyavol Malchi Ashur, Matsumayim Rabin. Why should the kings of Assyria come and find all this water? But Yischazik, they strengthened themselves, Yunus Kolachoma Pruta, they built up all of the walls that were breached. Any wall that had a little bit of a breach in it, by Yalom Migdolos, they went on top of their towers, the Lakutza Achoyma Acharetz, and outside they made another wall. The Chazik is Milo Ir David, as well as they strengthened the Milo by the city of David. I think that means the little moat, like the area around it, to make it a little bit stronger. By Ashalach Lerovo Maginim, and he also produced much weaponry as well as shields to make sure that everybody had something to protect themselves. Vitin Sari Mohammed Salaam, and he made officers of war upon the people. He kept saying, I love El Rechov Shara Ir to the street by the gate of David, Dabra Levav and Lamor, and he spoke to them. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. There's no question Chizkiyahu had an army, but the army had probably already been defeated in battle, so that Sennacherib came to him. There's no way that Chizkiyahu waited with his army inside the city of Yerushalayim waiting for Sennacherib to come. That makes no sense, right? He probably sent his army out, they were defeated, And now he was left with the remnants of that army in Yerushalayim. And now he had to make a brand new army inside the city. This is not an easy thing to do. You now have to do, you're no longer in what's it called mode, go to war mode. You're in siege mode. How do we keep the people out? That was a very difficult thing to do. So it says, Chizka v'imtzu, be strong and courageous. Al tiru v'al teichatu, don't be afraid, don't be wearisome or, you know, fearful. Yipnei melech asher, because of the king of Assyria, v'yithinei kol ha'mon asher imo, because of the people that were within ki imanu rab me'imo, because the one that is with us is greater than the one that is with him. Our God is still with us. We are greater in that way. Imo zro abasar v'imanu asham alakenu. He has flesh. We have HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us and to wage our wars. And they trusted him. They relied on what he said. I don't think they had as much other choices other than what they did. But he did what it was, and that's what they had to do. They had to prepare. Chazal tell us that just like Yaakov Avinu, he did everything he could to prepare himself properly for this war. Yaakov Avinu did what when Esav came to go fight him? At first he sent gifts, and then he davened, and finally he prepared for war. Chizkio, I'm sure, did the same thing, although it doesn't mention that there was davening over here, right? Maybe there's something here that we're missing, right? But it doesn't seem like there was davening. But he did. He sent gifts over to Sennacherib, which he did not accept. He did whatever he could davening-wise, and then he prepared for war. Sennacherib, before he even went in, sent his servants over to Yerushalayim. He did not want to wage war against Yerushalayim, whether he had a respect for the city of Yerushalayim and the holiness therein, or if he thought that this is going to be a very difficult war to fight. Again, no water. That might have been more difficult. He wanted to start a rebellion from within Yerushalayim and fight it. And according to Chazal,
he just wanted them to surrender without fighting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he wanted to make something
and
happen.
Also, it doesn't make sense that the Gemara would criticize Chizkiyahu for closing the springs, but not criticize him for giving the gifts. That seems worse than...
It depends on where the gift's coming from. If it's coming from his palace as opposed to the base of Mikdash.
Well, wherever the gifts are coming from. The closing of the springs is a defensive measure, whereas, you know, giving him gifts is almost like, you know, paying off the devil to walk away. It's, you know, he's the bad guy.
I hear what you're saying. Yaakov Avinu gave the gifts to Esav, though. So we learned from him to do
okay,
that.
Okay, but Yaakov also, he took, you know, set
he
up
did
his
the
army.
War preparations.
So shutting off the spring is a war preparation.
Yeah, you are right. You are definitely right. Maybe there were other things he could have done. I mean, because he did this, because Sennacherib did this, it starved the people. He was willing to take that pressure, I guess, knowing that that was going to happen, thinking that Sennacherib was going to leave immediately. But that was a gamble. This may not have been the easiest war maneuver. Maybe that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's what it would have been over here. But this was definitely a gamble. What was I going to say? Let's go on for right now. After this, Sennacherib sent his servants. Okay. By the way, this is what I meant to say. There was another person in Yerushalayim who was extremely powerful. His name was Shevna. Shin Beis Nun Aleph. He's not mentioned here. Shevna did start a rebellion, and he did start something up in the city. And the Gemara says something miraculous that happened, that Shevna brought with him 100,000 men that were going to leave Yerushalayim and join the forces of Sennacherib to make peace with Sennacherib. Chizkiyahu wanted to fight. Shevna wanted to make peace, and Shevna left. He was known as a leader of men, possibly, you know, like a rabbi figure in that way, right? But he went outside together with them. And somehow, this is what the Gemara says, the gates closed behind Shevna and nobody else went out. Shevna went by himself. Sennacherib said, I thought you said, I guess there were messages going back and forth, I thought you said that you were going to have a lot of people with you. Shevna said, I don't know what happened to them. And Shevna was killed in horrific fashion for lying to Sennacherib, right, and going up against.
Maybe they played a trick on him so that he leaves. Like, we're behind you, behind you. No, we're not.
And then all of a sudden they, like, let him go, which is really interesting if that's what ended up happening. But it is crazy to think about. Or it could even be that Chizkiyahu allowed Shevna to think he was going to leave and then closed the gates in front of the other people and didn't let anybody else leave. Like, maybe he did something to, like, open up the gates a little bit and then, boom, said only Shevna was allowed to leave and nobody else was able to go. Okay, but either way, so he sent his avadim, Lachish, right? He was, at the time, was with Lachish. Everybody was with him. Now, here's what they said over here. Here's what Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, says. What are you trusting in? As you sit in this siege in Yerushalayim itself. Now, Chizkiyahu definitely saw how big the powers of Sennacherib were, how big his army was, and he knew that he could not just rely on miracles, right? There's no question that he couldn't rely on miracles. So according to the Gemara, Chizkiyahu emptied the entire treasury and gave it over to Sennacherib. Everything he had in his kingly treasury and gave it over to Sennacherib. In the end, he got all this back because of what happened to Sennacherib's army, but he ended up getting over there. He may have even removed the gold that was overlaid on the doors of the Beis HaMikdash in order to give it to him, because he said, this isn't something that's directly in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Maybe that would be motivated to be able to go down. Chazal, again, say that Chizkiyahu should not have done so. He should have given other things, but this he shouldn't have done over here. Nonetheless, Ashur never left. Right, and instead they sent over these people to blaspheme what happened. Now, why was Sennacherib doing this? It could be because of what happened by Ahaz. Chizkiyahu's father Ahaz, the king of King Ahaz, rebelled against the Arameans, against Ashur, I'm sorry, the Assyrians, and had done something horrible to them. And because of that, it could be that Sennacherib was coming to take revenge for what had happened over here. It could be that Chizkiyahu rebelled himself by stopping to pay the tributes that Ahaz had begun to pay in his time. Chizkiyahu said, "We're not paying anymore. We're not paying anyone, and that's that." And that's why he said, I'm not leaving. Isn't he just inciting you? He wants you to die in hunger and thirst. Look what he did to the water. And saying, God will save us from the hand of the king of Assyria. He has no plan. That's what they're telling the people over here. He has no plan. Right? Is this not the same Yerushalayim who removed God's bamos emizbechos? Isn't that interesting? It could be that the people always believed in Hashem and used the bamos emizbechos as their way of giving to a form that was manifest to themselves of what Hashem was, but they always believed in Hashem. But the Avodah Zarah that they had in front of them and the mizbechos and the bamos that they did, right, was to those idols for Hashem.
Well, I always thought that the whole concept of a bama is a private mizbeach to Hashem in your backyard.
Yeah.
To Hashem.
There is such a concept, especially when the Beis Mitzvah is in there. The bamas that they were using were actually to Chamonim, which are sun gods, and like different types of things, right? But nonetheless, they were looking at it as, but it's really to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that is Avodah Zarah Mamish. Especially if you have a Beis Mitzvah, you can't sacrifice on bamos outside your shrine. Yeah. We know that, right? And what the warped view of the king of Assyria was like, no, he's limiting your service. He's not expanding your service. He's looking at it like he just wants you to be in the Beis HaMikdash so that you can pay tribute to him. And really, that's what the halacha is. He thought, when he's looking at all that, he thought that he was doing something to the people, taking away God. He said, how in the world could this happen? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu be with you if he's taking away the service of Hashem Elokeinu? Isn't that unbelievable? Some say because of this line, that the person who was saying it was a Jew who went off. And the name of that person was Rav Shakeh. It's possible that Rav Shakeh was an Assyrian. It's possible that he was a Jew who went off and spoke to the people in their language, saying, I was with you guys, and I saw what Chizkiyahu was doing, and I didn't agree with any of it. That was what was happening over here. Yatzilin mikaf malach Ashur. You think that God is going to save you? Right? You can only have one mizbeach. The Allah Taktiru, and that's where you have to burn. Do you not know what I, says Sennacherib, and my fathers did to all the people of the land over here? Did the other nations' gods, did they save them from my hands? On which of those gods that still exist that my father did not destroy? He destroyed all of them. Asher yachol lahatzel sami amo miyadi, that was able to save their nation from my hand. Ki yuchal lohechem lahatzel sami yadi. Do you think your God is able to do it? Now that was a mistaken notion. That was a dumb thing to say, because any Jew would know, like, yeah, of course, like, that God and that God and that God isn't real. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real, and that's how we know it's going to happen. That was a mistake on their part. It strengthened their belief, like, oh, he really doesn't get us. He doesn't get what we're doing whatsoever. So he says, the Ata, this is a pasuk tesvav, al yashi eschem chizkiyahu ve'al yasis eschem kazos, don't let him incite you or think that he's giving you good advice. Al taminu lo, don't believe him. Ki lo yichol kol lo akol goyim amlacha. There is no God, no nation, no kingdom, la'atzel amo miyadi, that can save their nation from my hands. Mi'adavosim from my father, afki Eloheichem lo yatzilu eschem yadi. And your God cannot save you from my hands. Not only that, but they wrote other things. They said other things, his servants, about Hashem, as well as Chizkiyahu. This was very unique. I don't know if this ever happened before, but they wrote books and sent in Yerushalayim. You know what they do in South Korea? That they send, like, they take balloons with, like, little pamphlets in them, like, stuff, information about the outside world, and they send it into North Korea, said if it pops, whatever it is, they can get it down, and that way they get some information in. I think this is what they did. They wrote books, they wrote, like, little things, and sent it into Yerushalayim about what they were. L'charef
l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. They used their Air Force to drop the leaflets?
Not Air Force, whatever they had. Maybe they just threw it. Honestly, just throw it in.
Kites.
You know, that's all you
Pigeons.
Need to do. Or arrows. Little arrows with little things, whatever it is, right? And just sent it inside. They could do, yeah, I mean, why not? Yes, they're Air Force. They're Air Force of Pigeons. That's it. That's actually pretty good. But they brought it in. L'charef l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. L'lemor alav l'lemor, right? And they said about him the following. God is no different than the other nations' gods, right? They weren't able to save their people in my hand. There's no way it's going to happen. And they called out in a loud voice in Jewish speak, right? In Hebrew. Al-Am Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, on the people of Yerushalayim, Asher Al-Achoma, that were by the wall, the Yoram Levalam, to scare them, to shock them, Man Yokuduzir, in order to capture the city itself. So it could be, there's a lot of stuff over here. Again, it's very well, according to the Gemara, Chizkiyahu turned to them and said, please don't speak in Hebrew, I don't want the other people to get scared, to which the people said, of course we're going to speak
so
in
this
Hebrew,
is proof that
in order
it
to get
was,
them.
It was, they spoke Yiddish. Yiddish is in Yiddish.
Yes, really?
Yiddish means Jewish.
Yeah. Yiddish. That's cute. They must have spoken. There's no question. No question whatsoever. The German language may not have been discovered yet, but nonetheless, Yiddish is obviously before that. And that's that. Okay. And they spoke about the God of Yerushalayim as if he was just the God of another land. Made by another person. Oh, it does say he davened. Okay, and he davened. This is when Chizkiyahu davened over here. As well as Yeshaya ben Amot. We haven't seen Yeshaya yet, but he was the Navi at the time, the main Navi at the time. Well, Hoshea was there also. They cried out to the heavens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent out a Malach. He destroyed every mighty man, every prince, every officer in the camp of King Ashur. Sennacherib then returned embarrassed to his land. He came back to the house of his God. And when he, I guess say, when he gave over something, that's right. There's a drush and there's a pshat over here. When he was like davening to his God, giving over his, you know, what was
insights.
In his whatever, his what?
His insights. Well, oh, you're saying that it
yeah,
was
but
like he was
like
one of the
pouring
pillar.
Out. Yeah, yeah. No. I don't mean like that. I mean like it's a reference to either davening right. And like giving out anything. But the other thing is when he was willing to give his kids over, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, such an unbelievable Gemara. It literally is the most unbelievable Gemara in the world. And the Gemara even says that if it wouldn't say it, I wouldn't even believe it. Listen to this Gemara, okay? I don't understand it at all. Chizkiyahu came back, Sennacherib came back, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him, right, as some type of a barber in some way. So Sennacherib comes in, right, and he... I want to see if I can find it right over here. I don't think he did write about it over here. Okay, it doesn't say. But he came back and... Right. He came back and he came back and he saw this barber. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu cut off his beard completely, as well as the hair. And he said, what did you just do? He said, well, go and work in the place across the street. He goes in a place across the street. He works a little bit, comes back. And God says, you're going to have to find something else. He finds the plank of Noach's Teva, bows down to it and uses it as his God, and promises to sacrifice his two kids to that plank of the Teva. And the two kids got up and killed him. No idea. It's the weirdest Gemara. It's around Sanhedrin Tzadi Gimel, or somewhere around there. One of the weirdest Gemaras. Now, if you look over here, right, the word Mietzie Me'ov Shom, he was willing to give what came out of his stomach. His children, he was willing to give over his children to be killed. That's when Pilu Bacharav, they killed him by the sword.
Usually means digestive system. Motnav would have been his loins. That would have been more of a reference
May
to his children.
Mem Ayin Yud is
that's,
a word used
that's
for
like
children.
Me'av is usually insides, like intestines.
I actually have it. The only reason why I know this is because the, who was it? The Malbim in this week's Parsha by the word Mamzer. Okay. Says it's mem. There's an ayin missing. Oh, it's a Tosefes Bracha. I'm sorry, Reb Epstein says mim e zor. is what it's supposed to be. There's a missing ayin. It's supposed to be from the stomach of Azor, from the whatever, from the progeny of Azor. And he says that's what it is, and he brings like five proofs. It's classic Rebaruch Epstein style in Tosefta Bracha, where he says
because
it's
in other places it talks about.
Yeah, mayayim is the innards in the small intestine,
but also,
long intestine. Mayayim
usually refers
to the loins.
Say,
yeah,
chalatzav.
Yeah, chalatzav.
Usually those two words.
This word is what he uses. You have to see it. It's in Navi. He only quotes Navi psukim.
Okay.
But mem ayin yud is the word that he uses specifically for that. This might be even, you know, this could be one of his ideas, but I don't think he used this pasuk over here.
So umitziyei me'av sham hi pilu v'acherv, meaning his kids that while he was there killed him.
Yes, exactly. And that's how the drush goes. Vayosha Hashem b'sich Chizkiyo v'yosha Yerushalayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Chizkiyo and the people of Yerushalayim yad sancher from the hetans of sancher melech Ashur. Umiyad kolom from everybody else there, v'yin alei misaviv, as well as, and I guess he guided them all around what they needed. Rabbim mevim minchal Hashem Yerushalayim. Everybody brought gifts to Hashem Yerushalayim. And gifts of fruit and whatever it is, foods, right, to Chizkiyo king of Yehuda. He was exalted in the eyes of all nations after this. I don't know if they heard the story. I don't know if everybody got what happened. All they knew is Sennacherib came with a massive army to Yerushalayim and was defeated by Chizkiyo in one city. They probably thought, I would assume, that Chizkiyah's army defeated all 185,000 soldiers.
The Chizkiyah's, the Jews were able to probably take all the spoils from
Yeah,
the
and they took everything, right? They had all these riches, and we'll see, the king of Babel ends up coming to them, and he shows them the riches, right? It goes through. People were shocked. They couldn't believe it. And that, like, raised up. Everybody looked at Chizkiyah, and they were like, who is this guy? It's amazing. How did this happen? It was just absolutely crazy. So a couple of things over here. All of this happened on the first night of Pesach. This was after the Seder. It happened at midnight, and that's why we say at the end of our Seder, "Vayhi b'chatzi alayla." It was in the middle of the night. Everybody knows that song from... Oh, you don't know it. Sephardi. Sephardim don't have it. But for Ashkenazim, we have "Vayhi b'chatzi alayla." It goes through everything that happened at midnight on the first night of Pesach. One of them is this that happened over there. It's from Shmos Rabba. Yeah, that is 100% true, right? That's what happened. It happened right
not
over there.
Starting,
now, there is an opinion. It's brought down from Rashi, Sanhedrin, Tzadi Heyom Abayz, that there were 185,000 men killed. Those were the leaders, let alone the soldiers, which means the army would have been infinitely bigger.
It's hard enough to believe it was
185,000. But he says that, accordingly, would be 2.5 billion people, if that would be true. The Maral and the Ben Yoyada says it's not literally. It was such an invincible army that it felt like there were billions of people surrounding.
I mean, it could also be meant, like, on a Yesod level, like, the amounts of, like, mm-hmm. celestial armies or beings that were there.
The Neshamos, so to speak, that were there, or the Malachim that were around on their side. Five survivors from this war, says the Gemara. Five survivors. Sennacherib, his two sons, Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuzaradan. Now, whether that's in Neshama world, and we're dealing with Gilgulim, or it's actually Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
but the Gemara says that.
Nebuzaradan must have lived exceptionally long lives.
It would have been about 100
probably
years.
Be there,
yeah,
Gilgulim
would
it
be 100 years. You'd assume something like that. The interesting thing is the drush where it gets it from. You know where it gets it from? Because Nebuchadnezzar saw Hanani, Mishael, Azariah in the fire. And he said, there's a fourth person in the fire that looks like a malach. And the Gemara says, how would he know what a malach is if he hadn't seen it before? And he must have seen the Malach destroying the army, and that's how we know it. Listen to that. Do you hear that drush?
No, that drush makes, but also you could say, meaning he didn't look like a celestial being.
Yeah,
like
I know.
Being, like,
that's what you would have said. It just didn't look human. It's such a weird drush, but that's that. And it was Zeradan the same way. It says, it was Zeradan said at some point he was destroying Yerushalayim from a Gemara. He said, there's something over here. Oh, it was from the Pasuk in Yirmia. There's something where he said, whatever the Malach decides for you, how do you know what a Malach looked like from that? It's a
but
weird
that
Gemara.
Also, that Midrash about Nebuzaradan probably doesn't fit well with the Midrash that says he converted after killing however many hundreds of thousands of Jews when he was in Yerushalayim. What?
It still could go. Why? Well, whatever that meant. Yeah.
Well, because when he saw an angel come and kill out an
that
entire army,
happen.
That didn't do it for him. But then he murders all these kids and,
you know,
and then that'll do it for him.
I always thought that way, but it could be that he thought that they had done something. You know, like we say that when something bad happens, it's because we did something wrong. Maybe it was Rodden looked at it like the Assyrians did something wrong and that's why we lost this war.
Or their God.
He didn't look
them,
at it. Yeah.
Even still,
he didn't look at it as God from Hashem doing it. Maybe at some point when he saw with the Jews,
just,
there was something that changed.
Without the first part, doesn't make sense that somebody would murder all these people and then decide.
And then all of a sudden,
like,
you know, emotionally speaking, maybe there was something in him that was riveted after that point. We don't know. Something affected him emotionally
like
at that
imagine
point.
Imagine if Eichmann, while he was on trial, decided, you know what, I want to be a Jew.
You don't think there were any Nazis that ended up becoming Gehren?
No,
I'm sure there was.
Like actual Nazis
not
who committed, like
ones.
Who were like
yeah.
officers
no
and that?
You don't think so?
No.
Not at all?
It just deported one.
It's like 95 years old. 95.
Really?
Wow.
95.
That's crazy. I don't know. See, the fact is, I agree with you in a way because the Gemara says, how could Nebuchadnezzar, who killed many people, end up becoming
maybe
a heir?
The only reason somebody could have converted if that was their way of hiding and like trying to hide their past. Like, oh, me? How could I?
You don't think they actually meant it?
No.
I mean, I don't know if
I don't. I don't see it so far away. I don't see why not. I hear what you're saying, but like, I don't know. Maybe. Well, like the answer is, it could be. So you don't know.
Everything could be.
So that's why the Gemara says
maybe
that
the angel was
so
an alien.
Maybe it was a Radha. That would be awesome. No, probably not, though. Oh, yeah, but that's that. The coolest thing is there's another Gemara that says that the bodies of the people that died in this war, the 185,000 people, their bodies remained intact. It was only the neshamas that left their bodies. Which means there were 185,000 people that were dead, that had no neshamas in their bodies. They were all dead, and they had to bury them.
But think about how many wars that we told learn about them in the entire Navi.
A lot of people.
And how many people had to be buried? Like, how could a Kohen go to Israel and walk around?
Seriously, I don't know why the vultures just didn't hang out there the entire time.
No, but like,
I get so much food, hyenas, jackals.
No,
I should have been there the whole time.
Like,
yeah, I hear you.
We're talking about, and also,
they quickly turned into fossil fuels.
The bones.
Well, there's
the billion year process
in Israel. There aren't any.
Got ramped up.
In the Israel, there aren't any. It's only way offshore.
Yeah,
it's weird. It is definitely weird.
But also,
that was that.
The way I would interpret that, you know, the angel that went through, it was a virus. You know, they all got Ebola in one night and they all died. Like,
I find that more miraculous than a malach.
Why?
A virus wiped out 185,000 people in a night.
That's my how I would define the natural sense, the malach.
Sometimes, in a way, I do agree because that's the way the Mor Nevuchim understands Parshas Vayera, what happened with the city of Sodom. The city of Sodom was destroyed in a natural disaster, and Avram Avinu saw it in the malachi world as Gabriel overturning Sodom. That in the angelic world, that's what it is. Gabriel overturning it,
which is oftentimes what I think Kabbalah is just the spiritual, you know, vision of what science laws of science are.
Yes.
In action. Like,
but when we say that a malach did it, when we're saying, the way you're saying it is, it's a malach is doing it, the way we would envision it could be that instead of a malach going through the people, cutting them with swords, right? Well, it's a virus that goes through. But
that also sit with the Midrash that says they were all just lying there as dead bodies.
Yeah, 100%.
He didn't come with a sword.
But I do find that a virus going through in one night, destroying all those people, would be a bigger miracle than anything we've ever seen.
We've never seen anything like that. It's within the natural.
Agreed. No, there's no question. I think that would be the most likely way of explaining it in our world. I think that's there.
And also, it could have been they caught the virus a few days earlier, but by the time the virus, you know.
Yeah, either way, all 185,000 died in one night.
They all drank from the same water source.
Either way, but the fact that not every, their systems are not the same.
Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, the two sons.
No, I'm saying, but
they had their own special.
That way, if you told me that 185,000 people died over a period of 2 weeks, then I'd be like, you know what, that makes a lot more
sense. I'm not disagreeing that it's not miraculous.
One night is beyond miraculous.
I'm not saying it's not.
No, but I'm saying it's beyond miraculous. It's beyond normal. This is like the craziest miracle of all time. So, okay, yes. There probably was a natural.
Maybe they were all part of a death cult and they all committed suicide on that night, just like the Heaven's Gate cult and the other.
Then why
cults
wouldn't it say that?
What? That was the angel that all got this.
No. That's much worse.
There was another,
I'm okay with the virus.
There was another
issue.
Cult in the 70s. It was like 900 people. It was the biggest mass suicide.
Well, no, you have 185,000 people.
No, I know, but I'm saying it was a famous.
But that's
the
there.
The,
but yeah, all we know when it comes to this, all we know is that the Malach destroyed them. Could there have been a natural way? Then yeah, very well could have been. There very well could have been a way that goes through. Now, the craziest thing is while all of this was happening in those days when Sennacherib was surrounding the city, Yechizkiyahu was dying. And the people probably didn't know this. He was so sick, he was dying on his deathbed.
Outside
the city, inside
but
the
Hashem
city.
Gave him, and that's why he thought everyone said like you're going.
There's no water source.
Connected. That's why Yeshaya said you're going. There's no cure, as we see from the 185,000.
I don't think it was the same virus. By Yispalo Hashem, and he davened to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. By Yomer Lo Umofes Natan Lo, and he said to him, he davened, Kadosh Baruch Hu answered him, and he gave him a sign. Now, obviously, by Yomer Lo does not belong here. It should be by Ya'an Lo, or he listened to him. Right, he listened to the prayers. By Yomer Lo. Is weird, and this is where the Gemara goes in, the Gemara in Brachos, that says that Chizkiyahu was being punished for the fact that he was refusing to get married. Yeshaya came to him and said, command upon your household, whoever's going to be the next king, because you're going to die. He said, why? Because they're not going to have any children. But I didn't have any children because they're all going to be evil. He said, that's not on you. Right? Bahadi kavshi rachmana lamalach is the wording of the Gemara. What are you dealing with? The things that God deals with, right? You have to do what you have to do. You have to have a child.
Who would have been the crown? I wonder, like, we don't know who the crown prince would have been.
It probably would have been Chizkio's brother.
Right, but do we know?
No, we have no idea. So he said, okay, so you should take your daughter, he said to Yeshaya, he said, you should take your daughter, give her to me as a wife. He said, your schus and my schus. Apparently the girl didn't count as anything, but your schus and my schus will end up, we'll have a child together. Maybe there'll be a good child, right? Maybe that'll be there. Yeshaya agreed to it, right?
Maybe he was referring to his zechut avot.
Yeah, it could be that as well. Amot was also a very tremendous. And then Yeshaya ben Amot said, no, it's too late. You're going to die, right? He said to him, there's nothing you can do. To which Chizkio said to him, ben Amot, kalei nevuas chavetzei, finish your nevuah, ben Amot, and get out of here. Kach mekublani mebeis av yaba, this is what I learned from my grandfather's house, right? Afilu charuchadu menachas al tzavro shaladim, even if a sharp sword is on the neck of a person, al yimna atzmo min rachmim, do not stop davening. And then he turned his face to the kir, the wall. That's what we learned from there, that you should daven with something, you know, with no person in front of you, but something right there, right? And he davened, and he was granted 15 years of extra life. He did end up marrying that girl, by the way, and he still had an evil child. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, I forgot where, I have to find it, but the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says the reason why it happened is because soon he's going to bring over the Babylonian officers, and he had his wife serve them. And his wife had in mind one of those officers when she was together with Chizkia, and the child from that relationship, she was together with Chizkia, but she was thinking of that Babylonian officer, caused the child to be an evil person like Menashe. That's the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, no Medrash, the parish on the Orach Chaim, it's called the something Moshe, Pnei Moshe, something like that, right on the bottom, he's like, I have no idea where he got that from. It's not a medrash, it's not anything. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says it. He says that's where it came from over there, but that was the reason why. But such a crazy, crazy thing, right? What happened over here. So he davened. Vayomer lo is Yeshaya told him what had happened and why this is all happening, right? And then afterward, the response was what was supposed to be. We do learn a tremendous lesson of mitzvos over here. Let's do two more psukim here. Velo kigmul of heishev chizkio kigav alivo. But Chizkio did not do back to Hashem what he should have done. He was supposed to praise God. He should have made his own Tehillim after all this. He should have done crazy things over here, right, for what had happened. There was an anger that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had on him and Yehuda Yerushalayim. How could he not do more than that? And that, says the Gemara, was the reason why he did not become Mashiach, so to speak, why there was something missing. Vayikna, this last pause, Vayikana Yechizkio begova libo, Yechizkio became very humbled himself from the haughtiness of his heart. Later, who be Yoshua, some of the people of Yerushalayim, below Baal Lam Ketzav Hashem b'mei Chizkio, that anger did not happen in his days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry, they realized it, they did tshuva for it, they felt bad about what they had done, but he worked on it after that, knowing that something bad had happened. But there was a mofis in Osun Lo. We didn't go through the mofis. There was a crazy miracle that happened at that moment. They all had sundials back then. I don't know why they didn't use pendulums, but they all had sundials back then. The sundial somehow moved up 10 hours. They gained 10 hours in a day. And it was a miracle of such magnitude that the people of Bavel came to Yerushalayim to ask what had just happened. How did this happen that there was hours added onto the day itself? It's very, very strange what happened, but we'll talk about this next time. We're going to see what the people of Bavel said over here. Check, everyone.